Well, this evening we're going to be looking at the end of Jude. Jude 1, there's only one chapter, verses 24 and 25. And you've got a church Bible, you can find that on page 1232. To him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Well, I'm sure many people in this room would have crossed the Severn Bridge that takes you from England to the wonderful nation that is Wales. There we go. I knew that would get some responses. There we go. And do you know what? The great thing about bridges, is that instead of having to get out of your car and swim, you can continue in your car. You can listen to the radio in absolute comfort. They take you from one side to the other. It's quite remarkable. But imagine for a minute you're travelling over the Severn Bridge. And as you're heading over to the other side, as you get 90% of the way, suddenly the bridge ends. It stops short of you getting to the other side. See, the engineers might have thought, well, we've got them the vast majority of the way over. Now all they have to do is make the short distance to the end by themselves. But there's no way, is there? There's no way that we can make it the rest of the way ourselves. Now over Easter, as we do every year, we remember the good news that Jesus has rescued us, sinful people like you and me, through his death on the cross and through his resurrection 3 days later. What a victory we can celebrate this weekend and for every day that we walk with him. Before, we stood completely separated from God, a gap far too wide for us to cross. But now, through his Son, the Lord Jesus, he has made a way, a bridge, you could say, for us to cross. But it can feel hard sometimes, can't it, at the beginning, as we mentioned with the bridge. We might be here this evening and we might think Jesus has done so much for us. He's rescued us, he's conquered sin for us, he's conquered death for us, he loves us. Now all he asks me to do is do the last little bit on my own, to cross the last 10% by myself. He's got me nearly to the end. Now all I've got to do is have enough strength within myself to finish. Maybe that's how we feel this evening. Well, if our confidence is in our ability and our own strength to finish the race, as Paul puts it, then we are not going to finish it at all. And our passage this evening from Jude reminds us to focus on him who is able to keep you to the end. Well, the letter of Jude is quite a short letter, as you'll see. And Jude was wanting to write to the Christians about the salvation that they share, if you look at verse 3. But you know, the real point of Jude writing this letter is about people who have come into the church, verse 4, who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. In other words, these people are twisting and distorting the grace of God. They're twisting the story of Easter that we've celebrated this weekend. And what's more so is that they even deny Jesus Christ himself. They reject Jesus as the king, as the ruler of all, the one who conquered sin and death, yes. they have rejected and denied him. And so Jude writes throughout this letter using several Old Testament examples of God's judgment on those who fail to believe in him, of those who fail to accept the grace of God, who choose to reject it instead. And so that's where we find ourselves when we come to the end of Jude. Jude is asking those in the church to focus on the one with all the glory, with all the power and with all the authority, to trust the very one that the people, some people within the church, are rejecting. Jude's saying, look to him. Look to him. Now, this is it's a very famous passage. I'm sure many of us have read it a lot of times. And it's read so often at the end of our services. And as we go through this passage, at the start, we find that there are three things that he is able to keep us from. Three things that he is mighty and powerful to accomplish in us as people who trust the Lord Jesus. And so the first thing that this passage says that he is able to keep us from is to keep you from stumbling, or as it's in the Bibles, to keep you from falling. You know, we went on our youth group weekend away in February, and one of the first things that we did was go abseiling. I don't know whether you've been abseiling before, but the first thing you do is you get harnessed up, you put on your helmet, and then two of you at a time walk up the dreaded steps. Things become a lot higher. But you know, the worst part about abseiling is when you lean out, when you take your feet off the comfort of the sturdy floor and lean out and sit in your harness. Suddenly, there becomes an awfully long way for you to fall. But all of a sudden, all your trust, all of your confidence is firmly placed in the ropes that are holding you, because that is all you have. And here it says, to him who is able to keep you from falling. Jesus is the rope, you might want to say, that holds us as Christians, that keeps us from falling away, keeps us from wandering away from our faith, keeps us from falling from the love of God. And so the question we have to ask this evening is, what is the rope that we are holding as Christians? Or what is our confidence that keeps us from falling? What do we place our confidence in to hold us and keep us from falling? You know, we could answer that in so many different ways, couldn't we? We maybe place our confidence in the good things that we've done, in our good works, the way that we've lived. Or maybe we place our confidence on our knowledge of God. We place our trust in our knowledge and intellect. And that's going to be our rope that holds us. Maybe our confidence is in our regular attendance of church. Maybe we come morning and evening. Maybe that's our confidence. Now, all those things are good. Doing good, living as light within the communities is important. Learning and knowing more about the God who loves us is so important. And coming to church and being with God's people, worshipping and praising him, hearing from his word, is so important as well. But it's got to be in him. Our rope has got to be Jesus, our Saviour, our King, our ruler, who bled and died for us and rose again. He is the only sure and mighty way to keep us from falling in our faith. Well, we might be thinking, great, he can keep me from falling, but where's the end? Where is this all leading towards? Where is the other side of the bridge that we are heading over towards? Well, the next thing as we read on is we find out what he is able to do. And that is to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault. This is the end, when we come before the glorious presence of our great God, when we see him make all things new, when we spend eternity in his presence, worshipping and glorifying our Saviour. This is the end. This is the other side of the bridge that we are kept from falling and stumbling. Our God is able and he is mighty to bring us through death and into his presence. This is the end, into his presence. And you know what? From today, we know that it's a sure and it's a true thing. Because we celebrate today our King who has conquered death, making a way for all those who trust in him to beat death forever too. Our King has gone first. We know it to be true. We know it to be sure, for he has conquered death. But do you know what is incredible about what we've just read? It's not only that he's able to bring us through death, although that is incredibly incredible, if that's a word. He can bring us into his presence. We can stand before his glorious presence. But that we can actually stand before a holy and all-consuming fire. A God who is so glorious, a God who is so powerful, so holy, so perfect, and it says that we can stand before him. It says, without fault, blameless, not guilty, perfect, right with him. Do you see how incredible this is? That us sinful people, can stand before a God who is perfect and holy, and we can be found to be without fault. Why? Well, because it's because it's him who is able to do this for us. Last week, we looked at the suffering that Jesus had to go through to take away our sin. He bore the punishment and the wrath of God. But now, through what our King, through what our Saviour has done, we stand before his glorious presence, covered in his righteousness or his perfection, not of our own, but we stand covered in Christ. And that makes us utterly faultless, blameless, perfect. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault. Isn't that incredible? And so he's able to keep us from falling. He's able to keep us so that he can present us before his glorious presence without fault. And the third thing that he is able to do for us as Christians is this: without fault and with great joy. Without fault and with great joy. Do you know one of the biggest and the most damaging lies that Satan says is that satisfaction and joy is not found in God. It's found in what the world offers, somewhere else other than God. But you know what? This passage destroys this lie. It exposes the truth that being with God and in a relationship with him doesn't mean we lack joy or satisfaction, but rather completes it. It overflows when we come into relationship with him. He is able, he is mighty to give us great joy. Isn't that incredible? Do you know, so often we think God wants us to be miserable because he wants us to obey his word, keep all of his commands. But you know, if we think like that, we really have to change our minds. Because here it says God wants to give us great joy. He wants to satisfy us. He wants his people to be eternally, forever joyful. But it's not found anywhere or in anyone else than God, our Saviour. And so this is what our Saviour, our King, is able to do for his people who trust in him. He's able to keep them from falling in order to present us before his glorious presence without fault, absolutely blameless, and with great joy. Well, the next verse, verse 25, ends with the response for what he has done with his great power and his might for keeping us to the end. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Do you know, the one thing as I was preparing this, when I read it over and over again, I just thought, can you think of anyone described like this? Anyone that comes remotely close to being like this? To the only God, our Saviour? Not only is he the only God, the living God, the one true God, but that God is also our Saviour. The God who rules and sustains the planets, who holds everything together, is also the one who comes to rescue his people. The one who builds all of the bridge from side to side. To this God, our Saviour, be glory. Be glory, his glory that is blinding. He is magnificent, and his beauty is beyond measure. To him be glory, majesty. He is the King of all. All who come before him bow in his presence, and we sing his praise. To him be glory, majesty, power. The God who makes all things, to whom the nations of the world are like a drop in the bucket, who controls and knows all things, but is in whose power came and endured the cross and rose again. To him be glory, to him be majesty, to him be power and authority. He is the one who has the right to judge us all. The one whose will is always carried out. The one that we obey and submit to. If this is our God, if this is our God, which it is, with all glory, majesty, power and authority, then we should be in no doubt that he is able to do what he says in verse 24. We shouldn't have any doubt when we read this that our God is able to keep us. He is able to keep us. He is able to present us without fault. He is able to present us without fault and with great joy. And this is all through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Do you know those people in the church that Jude was writing? What encouragement this must have been. While some in the church placed their confidence in anything but Jesus, this says, why on earth would you want to place your confidence in anything else? What encouragement this must have been to them. It's Jesus, clearly Jesus, the only one who is able to bring us to the end. It's all through him. And Easter, what we've heard on Good Friday this morning, Easter shows us that there is only one person who's able to fulfill all their promises and keep us in the faith to the end. And that is the one who suffered and took on death to conquer sin and then rose again to conquer death. Jesus has all the glory, for he is risen. Jesus has all the majesty, for he is risen. Jesus has all the power, for he is risen. And Jesus has all authority. Why? Because he is risen. He is worthy of unending praise before all ages, now and forevermore. So I hope tonight we've seen how if we think there is more distance for us to cross, how if there's something more that we need to do for us to get to the end, we need more of our own strength. I hope we've seen how we've been hugely mistaken. Jesus has completed. He's finished everything. And he's promised his people he will keep you to the end. It's a sure thing. So as you go into next week, remember the only one who is able to bring us to the end before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Let our focus, let our confidence be only in Jesus. When life crumbles, when doubts creep in, remember and turn to and look to the one who has finished the bridge and will lead us all the way to the end, to present us without fault and with great joy. Let us turn to him. Let us look to him. Let us trust in him that he will lead us to the end. It's not in doubt. He will lead us to eternal life. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ the Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.